Who's that guy years ago that said, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven? That's okay, I don't want to know. Because how stupid of a statement is that? Reign in hell. Who's going to be doing the reigning? It certainly ain't going to be his sorry ass. What does he think it's going to be? A big party at a three-floor nightclub? With no cover charge? With all his seedy friends? See, his delusion that he has for the afterlife is the same type of delusional thinking he had during life. He just makes it up as he goes along. Maybe this guy meant raining in hell like raindrops falling in hell. Is that the rain he meant? There ain't going to be any cooling off where he's going. I don't know which has less of a chance of happening, the water rain or the king's rain. And apparently this douchebag doesn't want to serve in heaven. Well, why not? Does he think serving others and the almighty God, creator of the entire universe, is beneath him? Is he just too cool for school to serve? I would guess yes, because he, as an atheist all his life, served nobody but himself, no doubt. Serving somebody or even a cause, for that matter, just doesn't compute with a guy like this, because he's lived one way his entire life, most likely as an egomaniac narcissist. So why would he want to serve anybody? Even if it's his own creator. Well, hey, this guy could think what he wants. He probably engraved that saying on his wretched coffin that he now lies in, disintegrating into dust. He talks like a dog. A dog, yeah, that too. But he talks like a god all his life. But yet, I don't hear him now. Where could he be? Oh, that's right. He's dead as a doornail, destined for the lake of fire. The lake of fire doesn't sound like any raining in hell to me. So let's not take to these haphazard phrases just because they might have a superficial ring to them. Because the bad guys depend on superficial rings to influence the masses. And if that's all it takes to get you on board with evil, then you probably deserve what you get, don't you think? Now, in the new heavens and new earth that Jesus sets up when he comes back down a second time, there will be no sin. No vices like drugs, alcohol, pornography, no addicting blackjack tables, and there won't be any sex. And how do we know that there will be no sex? Because Jesus told us that we will not be given in marriage to each other in heaven. And if we're not given in marriage any longer, that means the idea of sex will be mute. There will be no reason for it to exist. I mentioned all this to somebody and he said, then maybe I don't want to go to the new heavens and the new earth. I told him that for anybody who finds themselves in heaven, they will never look back on their previous life on earth and say, you know what? I miss the sex. I want to go back. Sort of like what Lot's wife was contemplating before she was turned into a pillar of salt. So I told this guy, hey, sex will not be an issue. We won't even be thinking of our old life in lieu of our new that's ahead of us. And if we would, then God is a fraud. And since God the Father is very real, then this discussion will never even take place. And then he said, can you be sure? Because even though all was well before the earth began, the angel Lucifer said, I want out of here. He wasn't satisfied with the goodness of life in which he lived. So this guy said, if Lucifer wasn't satisfied, well, maybe we in heaven will also be unsatisfied, which is an interesting thought. I never was asked that before. But then I told them, look, angels are not human beings. This is a different animal. You are comparing apples to oranges. One doesn't translate to the other. The new heavens and new earth was referred to as a paradise, possibly very similar to when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden before Satan and sin entered the picture, which then screwed up everything. But remember, Lucifer was the one who tempted the sin out of Eve and then Adam. In paradise at the end of times, no Lucifer, no sin. There will be no repeat of history of any kind. So if God calls our final destination paradise, then it's paradise. Now, if the new heavens and the new earth was not that great for some reason, and something that you would not like, then God would have not called it that. So the bottom line is that if you're going to a paradise, a little like some of the islands in the Caribbean, you're not going to want to come back because by definition, it's paradise. I was talking about the islands to this one woman the other day, and Jamaica came up. And in particular, Bob Marley, who was from there, who sang great reggae songs, as some of you may recall, who had long dreadlocks. I think the bored guy would look great in dreadlocks. Maybe adopt a nice Jamaican accent. Yo, man! But I didn't know much about this Marley guy, except that I thought he liked to smoke pot and promote it in his songs. That's what I heard. But man, this woman jumped on me almost yelling that I don't know what I'm talking about. Defending him like he was Jamaican's national bird or something. Do they even have a national bird? Perhaps a national beach lizard of some kind. She went on to explain how he was a very positive social force in the community, singing about togetherness and love, sort of like John Lennon did for the Beatles. So I stood corrected, but boy, she let me have it. It was like she was defending Bob Marley's honor, the island's honor, and even her own. But that's okay. It was all good. Happy to learn that Bob was held in high esteem, well-loved and appreciated for his music. That works for me. I didn't mean anything by my initial comment. It was just a passing observation. But I won't make that mistake again. Talking about the new heavens and the new earth, with us being there with our new glorified body, everything is new in the world to come. Even this new Jerusalem, the holy city, which literally comes down from the sky onto earth. Very interesting, as it's described, referred to in the book of Revelation, written by John, as the book says, the woman who is the bride of the Lamb. And naturally, the Lamb is Jesus himself. That analogy of marriage was mentioned a couple times throughout the Bible. A lot of interesting quotes out of that book of Revelation, which was John describing his vision. So because it was a vision, we wonder sometimes what was actually real or a vision or both. A lot of symbolic language in there, to say the least.
In my day, we had to have a strong backbone just to survive. Nowadays, all we have are jellyfish floating aimlessly in the ocean. Can't tell the straight ones from the gay ones. In my day, we didn't have any of this social media controlling our lives, typing out our life, watching on a screen instead of actually living it. Give me face-to-face conversation any day, especially with all the young lady friends I used to court way back once upon a time. They're all dead now. In my day, we had something much more important. We had each other. And on top of all that, we had God, who we respected and obeyed. Doggone it, do these kids even know how to spell respect? They all need a good swift kick where the sun don't shine. And another thing, let's spread the word about Don't Bring Up God, airing Sunday mornings on WAB from 8 to 9. A bit of a strange character that Robert is, but he's all right by me, just like the song, Jesus is just all right. Jesus is just all right with me.
The book says, he carried me away in spirit to the top of a very high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. The city had the radiance of a precious jewel that sparkled like a diamond. Another quote from the book of Revelation. And it sounds like it will be quite a spectacle, this New Jerusalem and holy city. Some of the verbiage used to describe the New Jerusalem was similar to the language in Ezekiel. That's why I believe in Ezekiel, that language was also explaining and representing God's glory to come, and not flying saucers with Martians at the wheel. And the Bible talks about three heavens. One is our Earth's atmosphere, the other is space, and the other is where God resides. I'm thinking in the end, there will be no need for a third heaven because God will be in this holy city on Earth with us 24/7. If there is such a thing as time, which I doubt. The book says, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be there, and his servants shall serve him faithfully. They shall see him face to face and bear his name on their foreheads. This bearing of his name on our foreheads was mentioned in the Old Testament several times, and it probably isn't a physical mark on the forehead or on the hand that was also mentioned. I believe it was more symbolic of your thinking, which emulates from your mind on board with God. And the mark on the hand symbolizes your actions and behavior also being on board with God. Here's a quote in the Old Testament that mentions this. The book says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. In other words, we need to be all about God 24/7 with every word, deed, and action. And if you need little reminders, whatever they may be, to stay focused so as not to drift away from God, then by all means do it. Being reminded with repetition is crucial for us to learn and maintain our course. Which reminds me, the weather getting nicer. It means two things to me. And these are two things that involve overweight women. Women, yeah, and men, but mostly men. Number one, when the weather starts getting nice, they go to the golf course. Yeah. That's what comes to mind. And second, they hop on their Harleys to ride. These two signs of spring are more reliable than trees blooming. Oh, yes, they are. So this new Jerusalem or holy city that comes down from heaven after this previous world has been done away with, it's like a capital city that Jesus is the president of. And it's quite spectacular as it's described in the Bible. Again, this is John's vision, so do we take these things literally, or are they all symbolic of the greater truth to come, or a combination of both? Well, we'll find out for sure when we get there. Don't waste so much time trying to figure out the details, because sometimes we just don't know until we get there, period, end of story. Like when you go to a rich person's wedding. Oh, you're thinking the food's going to be great with a spectacular variety of hors d'oeuvres. But, you know, that's not always the case. Because some wealthy people are the cheapest in the world. How do you think they got rich? But usually rich people love to splurge on their daughter, which is great. But sometimes they don't. The hors d'oeuvres turn out to be stale hard cheese on very breakable crackers. What's with that? I can get that at any Giant during the week when I go shopping. And the entree, instead of filet mignon and lobster, you get a choice of chicken. And chicken. It's either a breast or thighs. Quite the selection. And you can forget about an open bar. Oh, no. You need to pay and tip. Oh, well. Here's more about the construction of the New Jerusalem and Holy City that drops down from the heavens onto earth in eternal paradise to come. The book says the wall was constructed of jasper. The city was of pure gold, clear or crystal clear. The foundation of the city wall was ornate with precious stones of every sort. First course of stones was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony. I hope I'm pronouncing these right. The fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophrase, the 11th hyacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each made of a single pearl, and the streets of the city were a pure gold, transparent as glass. Wow. Well, what a beautiful configuration. But again, are these literal stones or symbolic? For instance, some people claim that the 12 different stones is symbolic of the 12 commandments, which include the 10 written in stone and the 2 given by Jesus. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But whatever the case, everything about our eternal paradise to come is spectacular. Here's another quote from John in Revelation. I saw no temple in the city. The Lord God, the Almighty, is its temple, He and the Lamb. Once again, reinforcing the insignificance of a brick and mortar physical temple in lieu of a spiritual temple, with the temple referring to as God, Jesus, along with ourselves, actually, as it says previously. The book says, the city had no need of a sun or moon, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamb was the lamb. And its lamp was the lamb. Yeah, he spelled the same with a P at the end, L-A-M-P and L-A-M-B. Yeah. The city had no sun, no moon, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the lamb. Now, here's a big physical difference. The sun as we know it will no longer be. Those bright, shiny summer days will be nothing compared to the light and brightness of God the Father and Jesus, which we can't really comprehend now, can we? Something that we just take on faith that that's how it's going to be, right? Do we have a choice? I'm good with it. And how exactly does all that work? Well, again, you'll find out when you get there. John goes on and talks about the big gates of the city. During the day, its gates shall never be shut, and there shall be no night. Here's yet another pleasant surprise. The big door will be open, and there will be no longer any nighttime, which tells me that there will be 100% safety and security in the new kingdom. And since most theft and burglary occurs during the night, I guess we can forget about all that too, right? Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better, even though we're only told bits and pieces on what's to come. The book says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man what God has in store for those who love him. Yeah, that's all I need to hear. I don't know about you, because I trust implicitly that God has me covered, just like a 5-year-old trusting his earthly daddy, times a trillion. Talking about the holy city again, the book says, nothing profane shall enter it, nor anyone who is a liar or has done a detestable act. Only those shall enter whose names are inscribed in the book of the living, kept by the Lamb. Our God records and remembers everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Nothing escapes him. So this book of the living, or the book of life, has all the names of sincere believers in Jesus Christ. Is that where Christmas got the concept of Santa Claus having a list of who's naughty and nice? Man, the more I look at Christmas with a critical eye, the more I believe that this fat, rotund Santa Claus, who smelled many times at the mall of liquor, was designed specifically to replace Jesus. With all the made-up similarities between a real spiritual being and a totally false, fictional, nonsensical one. It seems obvious that that's what they were trying to do. And with all the superficial glitz, pomp, and circumstances, for the most part, they have succeeded. How very sad.
Yes, I'm one of those brainwashed, indoctrinated college kids you hear so much about. But you know what? It's not working. Because why? Well, I have half a brain and good old-fashioned common sense and morals. I'm no empty-headed follower, not just another pretty face. Oh, did I mention? Yeah, I have a pretty face. Half of my foreign professors can't speak English. Seriously, I can't understand a word of their gibberish during class. The other half speak only to give their biased, one-sided liberal arguments against Trump. Whatever happened to free discourse on both sides of an issue? I suppose you can get that, as long as the discussion involves transvestites, cross-dressers, and sex change operations. Don't Bring Up God is all about free discourse. Call up live and voice your honest opinion. And don't worry, be assured your grade won't go down if you disagree with Robert.
Isaiah in the Old Testament also talked about the new heavens and earth to come and what it's like. He said, for the hardships of the past shall be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. We touched on this a little earlier, that all the problems and troubles caused by sinful vices will be erased from our brain. We're not going to have any time to reminisce and regurgitate those different horrible times that we had, the difficult times. What for? That's like football players enjoying the moment of playing in the Super Bowl for the first time. You think they're going to stop in the middle of a play and reminisce about how they lost a peewee football game 45-0 when they were 7 years old? It would never happen. This is the same principle when we get to heaven. The game will be on. No time to reflect back to the nonsensical way of the world life that we once had. Here's more descriptions of the new heavens and new earth right after we get to this phone call. The calls get preference. I got to usher them in. Yeah, sure. This show's for you, right? So we got a call at 833-707-7900. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jakia and Jaderic.
Jakia. That's an unusual name.
It's an African name. It means beautiful child of God.
Nice. You sound like what, beautiful child of God?
Why, thank you.
What's up?
I called in today and I heard you say how they basically used Santa to replace Jesus. And my son said, oh, that makes so much sense. And then how they would target the children. So the children would believe this fictional character instead of believing the true Son of God.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes they include little bits of truth, but they also add so much falsehood that it's a fake God of the Bible and a fake Jesus.
Like, I realize that when you come to the Christmas tree, you get the Christmas tree, and you place it down in the house, and you put all the presents under there, deck it with silver and gold, which is literally what God said not to do.
Yeah, the Christmas thing, I truly do believe that they're attempting to replace Jesus with this nice, jolly fellow giving gifts. Who doesn't like somebody giving gifts?
Right. And,
you gotta,
how you say that in the heavens it's supposed to be so beautiful and they have all the jewels and gold and diamonds.
Amethyst.
Yeah, amethyst.
Yeah.
That's what that's what your house looks like on Christmas Day.
Well, kind of. I mean, you can enjoy Christmas. You know, it's great for the kids, but be careful. I always say we should enjoy Christmas and Santa Claus, but separate it from Jesus. Stop trying to make the false comparisons and the replacement.
Yeah, my big thing about even celebrating is when we look in Jeremiah when he says that we're not supposed to take a tree and stand it up and stick it with silver and gold. And then you're kind of confusing the child because they're thinking that this is real. You know, that the presents got there because Santa Claus came down the chimney and put them there. And it's basically a lie.
Yeah, definitely. And that it does say it in the Bible about bringing in wood or the tree or something and decorating it. I know what you're talking about. It does say that. And if you think about it, it's so ridiculous. Killing a tree, bringing it indoors. To me, that's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
All right. Are you a newcomer to the show? Have you listened before?
No, it's our first time. We're just driving through and decided to put the radio on, and this is what we chose to listen to.
All right. Awesome.
We're from Louisiana.
Nice. Well, you can get the show down there through the phone. Look up WAEB website, or they have an app, and there's other ways to do it. WAEB 790 AM. And we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. We'll be listening.
All right. On. Well, you take care. Thank you for the call. Yeah, yeah. Out-of-state callers, welcome them. Bring it on anytime. Driving through on 22, no doubt, perhaps. The number is 833-707-7900. All is welcome. Here's more descriptions of the new heavens and new earth. The book says, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. Are you listening to what the book is saying here? If you're hearing and believing, then you should be ecstatic on what God promises all of us. It truly should be the main reason why we breathe on this planet, along with being the ultimate prize that our present imagination could never understand at this moment, at this present time. It's something that's special and supernatural, prepared for us by God our Father. Now, you either believe that or you don't. If you believe, then it should change your whole mentality and frame of mind. If you don't believe, then good luck continuing on your present course, which you know as well as I will lead to disaster. The book goes on and says, the wolf and the lamb, talking about the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus will set up, our cause and prize that the Bible describes. The wolf and the lamb shall graze alike, and the lion shall eat like the ox. None shall hurt or destroy. More great stuff to come. I don't know about you, but I would love to brush back a lion's mane with my hand and ride a cheetah running 100 miles an hour. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to go underwater like Aquaman for hours or indefinitely. It's possible. We can become amphibious. I'm serious. Our new glorified body will be similar to that of Jesus's, and he walked through a locked door to talk to the apostles after he resurrected. I'm thinking if he can do that, then we could possibly swim with the dolphins, sharks, and whales. Aren't whales the most hugest, docile, friendly creatures on earth? Until they inhale you into their huge lungs and spit you out of their blowhole. Although, that sounds like fun to me. I don't know how they survive on those little planktons. Little planktons. Like an inch and a half long. How are they going to satisfy that big whale's appetite? It wouldn't satisfy mine. Have you ever heard and seen that movie years ago where wealthy hunters were hunting and killing human beings for sport? I guess they must have got tired of hunting squirrels, groundhogs, and rabbits in the forest as they looked for their Christmas tree. Ah, see how I put that together. I suppose these guys, they wanted more of an even competition, a more competitive match, so they chose human beings. And there's been other movies like this, even The Terminator, when Arnold, I'll be back, was sent down to hunt and eliminate a particular human. And that's what people like Schwab, Soros, Gates, and the billionaires and trillionaires behind them one day want to do. If the social media indicates that you are a dissident in any way, where you disobey protocol and show in the slightest some kind of freedom of speech and thought contrary to theirs, then they'll come after you. They will simply program robot cyborgs to come knocking on your door and come get you. And what are you going to do? Shoot these things? They eat metal bullets for breakfast. They're robots. They don't bleed. Yeah, the future is going to be one big corrupt, vicious video game with some godless freakazoid at the controls who never had friends or a date, who only had sex with a synthetic android that he created in the laboratory. That's why he made it, so he would never be alone again, right? But that's how it's going to be done, with some weirdo controlling this army of robots with a control box no bigger than a cigar box, manipulating two toggle switches in order to eliminate us. That's what's coming, and that's what is already here. I saw Dennis Miller talk the other day, the comedian that used to be on Saturday Night Live. I always liked that guy. He had such an intelligent humor about him. And he talked about basically the same thing that I just said. That if some big fat cat don't like your looks or whatever you said or whatever you did or didn't do in your life, he'll have your head on a platter like John the Baptist without a second thought, without a first regret. Because human life to these guys is meaningless unless it's their own. They look at us as goyim, goy for the singular, below human status, nothing but animals. So if you get shot or killed, then who cares? So what? In our society, there's nothing sacred anymore. Nothing sacred about a marriage. Nothing sacred about life itself. Do we think that's how God set it up? Because all these things should be special according to God, including a sexual relationship, which is meant to solidify a man and a woman's partnership and love. Now, how can that take place if the husband and wife both had over 30 lovers in their past? I don't know why I said lovers. I should have said 30 lusters in their past, passing on unknown bacteria, viruses, and diseases as they frolic. But this is what we're brainwashed to do in our society from day one. That's why God said, you're either with me or against me. You either submit to the corruption and evil of the day, or you submit to God's care, kindness, and love. Your choice. Now, you may have been living in the way of the world life ever since you can remember, full of selfishness, arrogance, ego, vanity, and pride, and you may not know any other way, saying to yourself that I got no idea how to change and turn it around. Nobody's ever shown me or taught me how to live on the other side of the tracks. I've used people and ran the streets and played the game all my life. What am I supposed to do now? Well, first of all, you have to come to the point where you really want to change. Have you really had enough of your present life and the consequences that it brings? Because if you still enjoy and desire the craziness and turbulence and danger, then you're just wasting your time. There's no in between here. You can't do both. if you're truly sincere and actually scared on how your life is going up to this point, really do care on what happens after you die, then listen and memorize this quote. The book says, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross each day, and follow Jesus. Now, the deny word is key. Do you remember the last time you actually denied yourself or something you wanted to do? The last time you had the self-control and discipline to stop yourself, knowing that the ramifications of such an act is going to be bad, is going to be not good for yourself and others. And we need to pray, naturally, and ask God to soften our hearts and give us a new spirit to be born again and to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is who prompts us and keeps us on course. If we rely on ourselves to get the job done, it's never going to happen. We're just not that strong enough and capable. If we were, we wouldn't need God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, right? We could do it ourselves.
Yeehaw! It's party time with Don't Bring Up God, Sundays 8 to 9 on WAEB. Whether you're eating breakfast or still in bed, getting ready for church or to clean out the garage, whether you're taking out the dog or just scratching your butt, it don't matter.
Tell us what is rolling around inside that big head of yours.
Ah, big only because you have so many brains inside. Yeah, that's it.
Welcome back. My name is Robert on the Don't Bring Up God show every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, WAB 790 AM. So once you're humble enough to accept these kinds of things that the Bible tells us, you then will become less and less arrogant. And that's a good thing. The more you read the Bible and pray and listen to fellow Christians, the more you will see the light. Until one day you become a light for others. Another good thing to start is to start your day or whenever you are moved to do so. Say the Our Father prayer. When they asked Jesus, how should we pray? He said this.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My kingdom comes, my will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Out of the mouths of babes. So the more you connect yourself with God Almighty, creator of the universe through Jesus Christ, the more love, peace, happiness, and joy you will attain. As you replace the poisonous way of the world, misguidedness, with the protection and direction that God is happy to provide all of us. Let's all continue to keep the faith. Keep hope alive. Never give in to the drudgeries and burdens of life. Let's always look forward to what's to come. Because as we know, we are in this world, but not of this world. We have an inheritance coming our way once Jesus comes back a second time to earth. Christians have all been bought with a price, as it says in the Bible. That price is the blood of Jesus. His crucifixion made that all possible, which means he died for us, allowing us now to step beyond ourselves into something supernatural, something that we can't even imagine.
I'm feeling older and missing my younger days. Oh, then you should have known me much better. My past is something that never got in my way.
That's Billy Joel.
Oh no. Still I would not be here now if I never had the hunger. And
I'm not ashamed to say the wild boys were my friends. Oh, cause I never felt the desire to let music set me on fire. Then I was saved, yeah. That's why I'm keeping the faith. Yeah, 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 keeping the faith.
Absolutely, absolutely keep that faith. And you know, Billy Joel still plays and sells out Madison Square Garden. You talk about a talent with major influence on society. Great for him. The book says, one final quote here, and I mentioned it earlier, and it's worth saying again. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man what God has in store for those who love him. And that goes for down here on earth also. Here and when we reach the new heavens and the new earth. And it doesn't matter if you don't see great things on the horizon. That's what Billy just said. Keep the faith. We live by faith, not by sight. God has a special plan for everybody's life. Always know that and believe in that. And that will get you through the hard times. Absolutely it will. And since this is the case, let's not burst the blood vessel trying to figure out the paradise to come. Keep it simple and just take God's word for it, because you're not going to be able to figure it out no matter how much you try anyway. Capisce? Is that word Italian or Czechoslovakian? Maybe Portuguese or Swahili. Capisce? Swahili. Is that what the clicks that... how you dog doing today? That's a cool language. I don't think it's Swahili. I think it's Zulu, actually. I think the Zulu tribe has the clicks. Yeah. Like that movie, Shaka Zulu. Yeah, he was a tough guy, dressed up in his costume. Big, tall guy. He was some kind of warrior king. Shaka Zulu. Reminds me of Chaka Khan. Ah, remember her with her fuzzy hair? My wife used to have that, if she's listening. I saw a picture of Chaka Khan, and it reminded me of you, sweetie, if you're listening, with that fuzzy hair. Is that where you got it? Did you copy her? But Chaka Khan? I stuttered that one. Chaka Khan. Yeah, she was good looking, and she had good music there, as I recall. Back in the day, many years ago, man, am I getting older or what? Hey, that eclipse last week.
Chaka, 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 chaka Khan.
There you go.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. That's all I want to do. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me rock it. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it. Let me feel for you. Chaka Khan. What you tell me? What you want to do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan. Let me tell you what I want to do. I want to love you. Want to hug you. Want to squeeze you too. And let me take it in my arms. Let me feel you with my charm, Chaka. Because you know that I'm the one that keep you warm, Chaka. I make it
all right, Chaka. Where are you? Enough of this guy.
Let me rock it. Rock it.
There's that friendly, happy, exciting music and tone that we had in the 80s. All right, Chaka, come on. I'll give you like 10 seconds.
Baby, baby, when I look at you, I feel warmth inside. Baby, baby, when I look at you, I feel warmth inside. There's something about the things you do that keeps me satisfied. I want to love you, baby. It's plainly a physical thing. The feeling that I got with you, baby, makes me warmth. I feel for you.
Okay, thank you, Chaka. Appreciate that. But talking about the eclipse last week, I guess most of the country didn't see that great of a show unless you lived in Texas or New Mexico. I think Ohio or Idaho out there, they had it pretty good where it turned totally dark and then light again. And when it turns dark, it gets cold. Yeah. But yeah, the whole sun was blotted out. And to me, it reminds me how easily our lives can be snuffed out in a blink of an eye. Hey, that sun goes away. We're done. We're finished. And all of it is a representation of God's power. We'll get to you, call, in a second. Hold on. I'll get you. No doubt, Joe. But God's power. Yeah, that's what that eclipse was always all about. To me, that darkening of the sun is a reminder, once again, of his power and a preview to what's to come. Because darkness will take over this earth before Jesus comes back a second time to set up that new kingdom that I was talking about, which include the new Jerusalem or holy city coming down. Yeah, yeah. And the power of the planets aligning like that with perfect precision, it shows me how insignificant I am. You know, we think we're so great. We're not. Keep the overall perspective. Don't lose your minds out there. Hey, we got a call. Who's this?
Hey, morning, Joe.
What's happening?
Yeah, so, yeah, you started out talking about hell, lake of fire, and all that stuff. I think basically you're implying that, you know, there's some false teachings out there. Obviously, people think there's going to be a party in hell, and they're going to rule, and Satan rules. Couldn't be further from the truth, right? Because biblically, God is the one who created hell and the lake of fire. It's for his eternal punishment on them. And, you know, if you've ever heard of Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan, wrote the Satanic Bible, this and that, you know, look up his last words on his deathbed as he was slipping into hell. He started saying, oh my, what have I done? There's something very wrong here. There's something very, and he slipped into hell in sheer terror, realizing he got it all wrong.
Yeah, so, I don't know what people are thinking. They make up their own stories. They make up their own gods. They make up their own destinies. They make up this, that. Come on, let's get into the real world here.
Yeah, and like you always say, get back to the word, because, you know, the Bible is the only holy book that is God's inspired word. It's the only holy book that describes creation. It's the only holy book with prophecies fulfilled word for word, Jesus fulfilling over 300 of them. No other holy book has that. All the other holy books and religions are counterfeits. So it reveals the truth. Yeah, we do have a lot to look forward to. And I think of some of those verses you read, you know, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered in the heart of man those things which God has prepared for him. So if God created all of this and we're still discovering, you know, certain things about our, you know, microscopic to the telescopic to the universe, imagine what he can do. This is a fallen world. So because of sin, now imagine what it would be like without any sin, as you described some of those verses in Revelation. No more sin, no more death, disease, dying, no more wars, nothing. So I'll say it this way, you know, the global elites and the Satanists and all them, they're searching for stuff that only God can provide, and he's going to give it to us, his children, who repented of sin and trusted in him, and there's going to be so much more, because it's going to be an eternity, the most important thing, with God. It's going to be spectacular.
I agree, and people lose sight of that, and they really shouldn't. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
I got a little helpful hint for everybody before I leave. And it's in regard to the bathtub drain. Yeah. Like when it gets real clogged up. That's a pain in the butt, isn't it? All clogged up with hair and gook and who knows what's in there. And then you take the Drano or whatever, and it eventually works and clears the drain. But I know something that works even better. And you know what that is? Good old-fashioned deep yellow urine. Yeah, you heard me. That acidy urine, it could burn through a block of wood. Ha ha ha! That cleans out the drains beautifully. In fact, I never use the toilet anymore. I don't need it except for the other duty. But seriously, try it. It works, and the best part of all, it's free. Oh, yeah, that urine. A lot of good uses for that we don't know and understand. It's like a pocket knife with so many attachments to it. Yeah, that's what urine is. I think we need to investigate that one day, perhaps do half a show on that. And don't cringe just because it's a excretory fluid, like that's a word. It's close, though, excreting. That's taking out, right? In whatever. But, yeah, little helpful hint. I like to do what I can here. So there you go. Enjoy that. Let's see now. Podcast. Yeah, let me mention the podcast. I haven't done that for a while. The podcast, if you want to listen to Don't Bring Up God, like that nice lady who called earlier, just search Don't Bring Up God podcast. You can listen to the last 100 shows at least. Search Don't Bring Up God podcast. Okay? I hope you're still listening, driver driving through. All roads lead back to God. Tyler, we love you. We'll see you again.
WAEB, Allentown. Listen on your free iHeartRadio app for all your music, radio, and podcasts.